You are tuned into TCS Podcasts.
Welcome to TCS Research Podcasts. My name is Sheetal. Now, an important date comes up in the month of November, and that is the 14th of November. It's World Diabetes Day, and we are already quite aware of the numbers when it comes to this ailment in a country like India. Now, interesting work has been happening in the area of screening for diabetes, and we are going to be spotlighting sensors to screen diabetes on today's conversation. In fact, let me highlight over here that TCS Research has been doing work, collaborating indeed with IIT Kharagpur, in the area of gas-based sensors and how they can be used to analyze and discriminate volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. And VOCs, incidentally, are present, interestingly, in human breath and actually are biomarkers that are associated with specific diseases and useful, therefore, in the clinical diagnosis of these diseases. And diabetes is most certainly one of them. So we've decided to understand the work that the two entities are doing in this particular area. And to help us understand this work, we've got with us Sanjay Kimbahune, who is senior scientist at TCS Research, and Dr. Prashanta Guha, who is associate professor, Indian Institute of Technology, Kharagpur in India. Thank you so much, Sanjay and Prashanta, for joining us on TCS Research Podcast. How are you, and welcome to the show?
Thank you, Sheetal, for the introduction. Nice to be here on podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheetal. Yeah,
this is a very exciting development, especially because we're talking about its implications for something like diabetes. There's not a single one of us in this country who doesn't know someone who has diabetes in their own families in most cases, right? So health sensing, clearly its applications over here in this context become very, very relevant to every single listener, whether they're people of science or laypersons listening to the podcast, I would imagine. So Sanjay, let's start with the basics. Health sensing, this is an emerging and evolving space. So help us understand what we really mean when we say health sensing.
Sure, Sheetal. Being in good health is very important for everybody. Mm-hmm. Post-COVID, focus on wellness has increased significantly.
Correct.
To sense individuals' health, some sort of window is required for observing body function. Health sensing is exactly that mechanism of looking at the body parameters or functions. There are multiple health sensors around you. Take the case of smartwatch. It can sense your oxygen level, heart rate, or even ECG. Analysis of this data can give you a fair idea of individual's health. Now, coming specifically to diabetes, let me give you some statistics. As of 2021, there are approximately 500 million people living with diabetes. It is projected to rise 600 million by 2030 and 750 million by 2045. Approximately 75% of these people live in low and middle income countries. And very alarming, almost 1 in 2, that is approximately 240 million adults living with diabetes are undiagnosed. Mm-hmm. Thus, despite of technical progresses, the resource availability, early screening and treatment of diabetes is still a significant area of concern. Mm-hmm. Diabetes leads to many complications like heart issues, kidney damage, diabetic foot, and so on. Yeah. We want to focus on this huge number of people who are still undiagnosed for diabetes and try to develop some novel sensors for sensing the diabetes in a very frugal and a simple way.
For the benefit of our listeners, I should also add that Sanjay's current research focus is on engineering innovative devices for screening cardiovascular diseases, smell-based disease detection, and also hyperspectral sensing for various diseases. And we also, you know, have another question, Sanjay, for you before we catch up with Prashanta in a bit. TCS Research clearly is exploring newer dimensions and also depths in the area of health sensing that you just explained to us to meet the goal of connected health. So I see this as a perfect intersection of the sciences and the technology aspect of things. So tell us all about it.
We are looking at novel yet frugal ways of health sensing. Mm-hmm. Conventional sensing mechanisms are using commercially off-the-shelf sensors like say ECG, PPG or PCG, mm-hmm. or like using sensors embedded in mobile phone. The examples would be accelerometer, gyroscopes and camera. You might have heard, you might have seen the application to measure the heart rate, even SpO2 by using mobile phone camera, or activity detection using accelerometers and gyroscopes using a normal camera. However, let me give you a few examples that are unconventional sensing mechanisms. The first example I will give you is of a radar. Now, the conventional use of radars is for tracking objects. Radar sends radio waves.
Right.
Look at the reflected waves back from the target, analyze it, and make sense about the target. Okay. Now, this is being used for tracking, say, aeroplanes and other things.
Right.
Now, the same technology miniaturized can be used to sense health parameters like heart rate, breathing rate, activity detection, fall detection, and so on. Now, the difference between the standard health sense devices and this radar is that normal devices causes a technology anxiety. Meaning if a doctor puts in a blood pressure cuff, normally the blood pressure rises. This is called as white coat syndrome. Now this radar doesn't look like a medical device. Okay. It just looks like a small box sitting somewhere, which is insignificant, and it doesn't cause technology anxiety. Right. Yet it can sense in a very non-obtrusive way various sense parameters, health parameters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now the second example which I will give you is of a hyperspectral sensing. A human eye can perceive light in the range of, say, 400 nanometers to 700 nanometers. Hyperspectral imaging looks at the bandwidth range far broader than the human eye can perceive. It can detect many more things undetectable by human eye. Okay, so let me give an example of a finely powdered sugar and salt. So unless we test it, we cannot differentiate.
Correct.
A human eye cannot differentiate between them because they both look white.
Right.
Okay. However, a hyperspectral camera can differentiate between them, since the mean reflectance value for both of them is different. So another example what I'd like to give you is, say, a composition of an atrial block. Typically, when you do a heart surgery for a block, you come across these atrial blocks. A human eye cannot differentiate between the calcination of the block and normal block.
Okay.
Whereas hyperspectral camera can very easily tell you about the composition of the block. And that would help a doctor in treating this patient in a much better way.
Right.
Likewise, there are multiple examples of innovative screening mechanisms. Like, say, I'll take example of Raman spectrographic sensing or photoacoustic sensing or metamaterial sensing or even the VOC sensing, volatile organic compound sensing, and so on.
Right.
We will discuss VOC in detail sometime later.
Right. Yeah, fascinating, Sanjay. I mean, all of us, you've given us some examples and analogies that always, I think, help understand these concepts a bit better. Over to you, Prashanta, and for the benefit of our listeners, like I said, Prashanta is part of the Indian Institute of Technology in Kharagpur, and he's worked as a research associate at the University of Warwick for more than 2 years, and also obtained his PhD from Electrical Engineering Department of University of Cambridge, and this was in 2008. He's published several papers in international journals and conferences, and his specific areas of interest are nanomaterials, MEMs, smart sensors, and then some. So Prashanta, before we get into the work aspect of things, tell us about how the work itself began, like the collaboration between TCS Research and IIT Kharagpur. Walk us down memory lane.
Yeah, so here in IIT Kharagpur, we have been involved in gas sensor research and also volatile organic compounds research for more than 10 years now. We have seen that this platform can be extended to foreign healthcare applications, particularly if we take exhaled human breath and try to measure the VOCs, then it can tell us the state of your health. So we approached to TCS a few years ago, and they saw merit in this particular technology, and they agreed to help us. Now, this collaboration has been extremely good, particularly because we have a complementary strength. TCS has been helping us by giving lots of logistic support. They have a very strong data analytics team. So that data analytics support will make our sensor more selective. So if we can manage to pull a product out of it, I think TCS research experience will help us to make our product market ready and for batch fabrication. So it is an extremely effective and fruitful collaboration, I would say.
And let me come back to you, Sanjay. You've got a joint publication that's titled Selective Discrimination of VOCs Applying Gas Sensing Kinetic Analysis of a Metal Oxide Based on Chemi-Resistive Gas Sensor. But you've already mentioned VOCs, and you did say that you're going to tell us all about this a short while later. I think that time is here. Can you break this down for us and unbox the joint publication's title? And also tell us how technology is being used for screening of non-communicable diseases.
So what I will do, I'll split this in two parts. The first thing is introduction to VOCs, that part I will take. And the technical details and how the sensor has been developed, I will request Prashanta to speak on that.
Okay.
So coming to the first part, volatile organic compounds. Now, if you walked on your memory lane, in ancient times, the doctors, they used to put saliva, patient saliva, on burning coal. Earlier, the sensors were not there. Earlier, there was no glucometers and all those things. How the doctors used to diagnose? They used to put patient saliva on the burning coal. The sweet smell would point to presence of acetone relating to the diabetes. If that saliva smelled fishy, then it was related to kidney disease, like it was related to ammonia and so on. As you know, the dogs, no, they are known to have ability to smell many diseases, including cancer.
That's
in fact, no, yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, in Sweden, there was an experiment to sense the COVID by dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty successful.
Right.
So essentially, this points to a fact that whatever your body state is there, some part of that is reflected in your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you come to human body is a powerhouse where a lot of chemical reactions keep on happening.
Correct.
Okay. These reactions results in various byproducts,
mm-hmm.
like VOC or volatile organic compounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, volatile organic compounds are, in the simple language, these are smell-producing compounds.
Right.
These compounds are emitted through breath, sweat, and even urine. There are approximately 3,000 known volatile organic compounds. In a breath sample, typically there are approximately 300 volatile organic compounds.
Right.
Now, interesting fact is that plants also use volatile organic compounds as a communication medium amongst each other. They don't have a language, but they have a language of volatile organic compound.
Right.
Now, there was an experiment by Babioka.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, you know, took two plants. One plant he infested with a pest,
mm-hmm.
and the other plant guarded up its defense.
Right.
He figured out that how this communication has happened. This communication has happened through the volatile organic compounds or the smell-based compounds that are emitted by one plant to another plant.
Mm-hmm.
It also prepares the other plants in case of some herbivores are there.
Right.
So they are grazing.
Right.
So essentially they release some compounds which makes them bitter.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So VOC is an upcoming research area. Until now, approximately 100 clinical trials have been registered or done.
Right.
So these clinical trials are in areas of lung cancer detection, mm-hmm. diabetes detection, digestive disorder detection, and even psychological disorder detection also.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what we are trying to do is that we are trying to digitally smell the breath and mm-hmm. relate it with the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll request Prashanta to dwell into the technical part of developing the sensors.
So our basic sensor is a resistive sensor or chemi-resistive sensor. Here the platform is can be silicon or can be ceramic. So we have resistors. The resistors are metal oxides. That is the sensing layer. And we measure the change in sensing layer resistance. So this sensing layer, when it comes in contact with VOC or other gases, its resistance changes. So all you do, you measure the change in resistance, and then you know there is your target VOC, its concentration, and what kind of VOC it is. Now, if I add a little bit more, these VOCs can be identified by making the sensor selective. And in that, this machine learning algorithm and other things can play an important role.
You know, one question begs to be asked over here. Clearly, you've told us about the chemi-resistive sensor and how that is something that you are working with. But why the sensor, and why did you choose this over others in terms of, you know, the advantages that it perhaps offers in maybe vox screening?
Right. So again, I try to answer it in two parts. In the first part, I will talk about only resistive sensors.
Okay.
So in the resistive sensor, this sensing material can be of many different types. It can be metal oxide, which we have been trying.
Right.
There are other kinds of sensing layer, for example, polymer, for example, carbon materials. Now, the metal oxide has clear advantage over polymer or carbon materials because metal oxide give a much larger response compared to other two. And also, the other two are more sensitive towards humidity. So in that respect, metal oxide has clear advantage compared to others. Now, if I go to the other side of the story, apart from resistive sensors, there are other technologies like some companies in UK and Europe. They are pursuing GCMS-based technology and cavity ring down-based spectroscopy-based technology. But these technologies are very, very expensive and they are not for point of care solution. So in that respect, this kind of VOC screening can give us an advantage.
Right. Understood. Now to come to that important aspect that brings the whole story together, I started out today's podcast by calling out a specific day in November, World Diabetes Day. Now, this is where I'm going to call upon the two of you to help us connect the dots between accessibility to diabetes treatment and the sensor and sensor-based platform that you're developing together.
The main challenge for diabetes testing is need for pricking and costly consumables.
Okay.
Right. Here we are not looking at normal people, but the 240 million people that we spoke about who are undiagnosed. So we do not claim to be the replacement of the conventional strips, but we plan to create something which is more of a screening system where people can come, they just can blow, and the sensors will come to know whether they are diabetic or not. It will be a very easy to use system, and it will have a potential for mass deployment. So that is the system that we are looking at.
If I can add, like, this particular technology have a couple of advantages. Like, it can give you point of care solution, and it is non-invasive, as Sanjay said, easy to use. I mean, you can keep it your home, and you can blow as many time or when you need it. So that way it will be also cheaper. So these are the advantages we can have compared to other technologies, other existing technologies. So it might give you a breakthrough.
I'm, recalling over here, just to digress a little bit, my own mother, who developed expertise, great expertise, while caring for my diabetic father in actually doing these pinpricks. And she became the go-to person in the house saying, "Ma, can you just check my, blood sugar level?" And she'd be the one to do the pricks for you. And such a device would really, I think, take the pain literally out of the entire process for all of us. So exciting to hear about it. Now, Sanjay, one last question. The future, how do you plan to take the research ahead?
So let me tell you that we are taking this platform view for this research, meaning once we master for one disease, for diabetes, we have taken the simple use case of diabetes, easy question paper. Once it has been done, then we will take other complicated diseases as well, because we'll be knowing the process, we'll be knowing the sensor, how it works, and the complete process. There's a complete process of development. Like, say, we collect the breath samples, do a GCMS analysis, then do a data analysis of the biomarkers, and arrive at a particular biomarkers, VOC biomarkers, for particularly for that disease.
Right.
And then the second stage is developing the sensor. Now, once we walk the pathway is created, then another disease is just walking that path once again. So that's where I call this as a platform approach. So once we create this device for diabetes, we are looking at developing something which is ambitious, looking at biomarkers for neurodegenerative disorders, NDDs, what you call.
Right.
So these neurodegenerative disorders could maybe early biomarkers for, say, Parkinson's or dementia kind of thing.
So many different areas where I can see applications of here, like you've shared with us, Sanjay. One last question, and this is a bit out of syllabus. Since you said easy question paper, I thought I also have to use one of the terminologies associated with academia. But I often imagine people who are working on products and solutions and actually doing research as being people who are absorbed by it even at night when they sleep. They cannot wait to get back to the lab and get cracking on the solution that has come to them. Is that what happens, Sanjay, to you, for example?
Yeah, definitely it happens. In fact, I would like to add, I've got many number of patents, and many of these ideas, I got it maybe at around 2 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the morning. So I used to get up and I used to key in whatever came to my mind into my iPhone.
Yeah.
And there's an idea register, which I keep.
Oh,
so that idea becomes a seed of either a product or a patent.
Yeah.
So definitely what you said makes sense. It is a little bit difficult for my family members because I get up and power on the light and now start keying in certain things.
Yeah.
But yes, now they have adjusted to that.
Yeah, small price to pay, I would imagine, for having ideas that actually take reality and shape in the form of things that we can use to solve real problems in the world. Prashanta, I'm sure a similar story you have as well, of something that keeps you awake at night and then you leap out of bed in the morning to raise it. Tell us.
Sometimes I wake up early in the morning, or sometimes I go to bed pretty late because there are ideas which we need to note down so that we can explore it later on. Yeah, definitely.
And just like that, we've got some pointers from our two speakers on how to take an idea to fruition. Thank you so much, Sanjay and Prashanta, for joining us on TCS Research Podcast today and helping us understand the work that you do in the area of health sensing, understanding what walks are all about and how technology is being used for the screening of non-communicable diseases, and also putting it in the context of World Diabetes Day for them.
You are tuned into TCS Podcasts.